Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Moment Is Now, and a happy Friday the 13th to everybody. I'm Stephanie Patterson, a.k.a. Lady Oracle Tarot, and with me today is the Goddess Divine of Meditation and Spiritual Healing, Linda Becker. How are you, Linda?
I'm doing wonderful today, enjoying the sunshine. We're finally getting some sunshine here, and I am glad it's Friday the 13th. It's always a very lucky day for me. I think it's a day of magic. It always reminds me that something magical is going to happen today in a wonderful way, so I'm looking forward to see what unfolds in my life today.
Oh, I think that's
great. And then we can talk about it next week. I love it. And then we had one last month, too, and I thought that's sort of interesting that we had two in a row, right?
Yeah, so what are we going to learn from that numerology?
Oh, well, four, you know, you would add the two together, you know, if you just did the day. And four is always represents foundational building, you know. We're building something, you know, something that's putting in place, that's making that foundation to build something on top of it. So that's all about what
I'm showing.
Well, it's
interesting that you should say that. Because I just did a quick addition in the tarot numbers, and what we come up with when you do February 13th, 2015, you come up with 2030, which, and then you start adding sideways, you come up with the number 5, which is, number 5 is the Hierophant, and that's about belief systems and systems of faith and spirituality. So how about that?
Yeah. Well, every day is life is so awesome. I've just been having the most wonderful experiences, and I'm just very, very happy person, and I'd like to share that with everybody, you know. Find your little happy spot and don't leave. Stay there every second of every day.
So what I want to tell our listeners today is we had a huge response to our show on the Contacting the Warrior Within. Huge listening numbers, and people were really excited about that. So Linda and I talked, and the thing what we want to discuss today is the warrior was, it was harbinged, it was coming last year. She's here, and she is kicking butt and taking down names. And we wanted to talk about what that energy is like. Maybe this is some of the way that we can kind of envision what's happening in the world today. Also talk about how we're supported astrologically through that, and helping people find their transition points. So,
This is a dynamite show, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it is.
It is. So,
it was interesting to me when we started talking about, you know, contacting the warrior and everything. And I looked at you and I said, well, you know, Venus and Mars are going to be going conjunct in that same place, same time, in Aries later this month, and that's going to be about the 20th or 22nd. So that's when you hear somebody say in astrology, well, they're conjunct right now. All that simply means is the planets are showing up in the same degree, same sign, same time. And, you know, we're so familiar with, John Gray wrote, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. So you may see some white caps coming out of that stuff, but basically Aries is a very kind of take charge energy. It's a pioneering and a leadership energy. It's about new beginnings. So again, we keep seeing this theme of let's get started. Here is your chance to get a clean slate, people, and it's only February. So what do you think about that?
I think it just coincides with the warrior, the warrior of light that's coming through. Like you had talked about last year, she was really making herself present, but now she is actually here. And I like to call that her surfacing and showing herself. And we will talk about how you can tell that the warrior is actually here, and how you can tell is that you start feeling. It's not about power. It's about learning more about yourself and building up your bank of love. That's about what it is. It's about us learning to draw our lines in the sand. I'm seeing this with all of these women that I'm connected with, that boundaries are being set up. Things are being inside us coming out, like, you know, what do I deserve? How do I love myself? Where's my line in the sand? When am I going to say no? Who do I say yes to? I also see a lot of energy coming out of women moving towards other women. You know, it's like we're rallying, we're creating our force. And I've mentioned before that we're moving towards a real war, and the war is an energy war, and it's not anything like we would define war as. It is us becoming solid and powerful within ourselves first so we can unite together and move forward. And this is all the huge shift we've been waiting for years, to change the paradigm of what we're experiencing now, which is a male-dominated world and a male-dominated government. Things will be changing in the next few years. And even in astrology, it's saying here that the power's coming through. Now, most of the women that are connected understand what's going on. I'm feeling more powerful today, but yesterday I felt a little weaker and a little bit more afraid. But then you're just being pushed. You have your soul at just pushing, pushing, pushing. We need to move forward. We have to bring the light here. We have to help cover this planet in love. But it always starts with you first, because if you don't have it, you can't give it. But with this, love is a real strong power of sending it out and connecting with other women, like I said, so we become a nice, just like a huge ripple. And as we unite and our love becomes stronger to share with all of humanity, because that's the only way that we're going to move forward and evolve, is if we do it together, and if we do it in a gentle slash powerful, that just means holding your position, not retreating, not going back. Every time you draw a line in the sand, you stay there, and then you draw another one, and you stay there until you're strong enough to just say, no, love's going to rule this planet. And that's when things are really, really going to change. But I do see a huge gathering of women and connecting with their best friends and searching out more people to connect with and to learn from, and to, because a lot of women are trying to figure out, how do I own my power in a loving way? Because we've only been shown how to own your power in the masculine way, which is over, you know, and not with. And I think you had a saying for that. What was that, Stephanie?
Oh, yeah. In magic, we always say that it's power through the natural intention, not power over in a dominating way. The other thing I wanted to point out is when you're dealing with energies, there are yin-based and yang-based. And yin is an indirect energy. It's called the feminine, and yang being a very direct, like confrontational sometimes, is more of a masculine approach. So what we're seeing, I think, from what Linda's saying, is that this energy shift is all about getting in, working through systems, and coming at it in a different way. And it is raising consciousness. I mean, I was asking Linda about this very thing. I said, okay, so right now here in America, we're having a big, big division in the country and in the government. And, you know, the GOP seems to be quite out of touch in certain areas. And Linda was saying, well, you're seeing the old male energy starting to, they can't relate to what's happening. They don't understand it. So I thought that was very interesting when you were making that point.
Yes, and the question you had asked earlier about, well, what about the men? Are they evolving too? And it's sad and it's unfortunate, but they are evolving, but at an extremely slow rate, because what's happening is that their whole dynamic is changing. Women have been working into their power for the last 20, 30 years. And the men, they've just sort of lost their footing, because what women need from men is nothing like we needed from them 40 years ago. And they're sort of stuck, you know, because they don't know what women need. And then they just start pulling back, because then they start feeling like they don't care, because they don't understand the dynamic that's happening. And as we evolve, we will bring the men along, but they're going to be much slower than us, because this is all feminine energy. Like you said, it was yin energy that's coming through. And what we're going to change the world into a loving, a more understanding and community. And that's the thing that the men are not programmed to do, and they don't quite understand that. So the thing is that we will just have to stay focused on ourselves and moving forward with each other. And the men will finally come along, but it's going to be a long time, because they're pretty stuck where they're at. But as I was telling another friend of mine, I really feel sorry. You know, I feel sad for them because they're so stuck. But it is part of this evolution. It's meant to be this way because men, the thing that I understand about women is women are nurturers, and women can bring forth life, and men cannot. I mean, we could survive with the sperm banks without men, and men have always been terrified of the power that women have. So that's why they became so dominant and took over when they had the opportunity. And then so the last 20, 30 years, we've been rising up, owning our power, getting into the system, getting jobs. Now we do not need men to survive. You know, a lot of women I know that are single, they own their own home, they have a wonderful job, you know, they have a good idea of their self-identity, and they're searching to own their power in a loving way, not in a taking over way. So the men are lost, I mean, because they don't know where they fit in there, because a woman will not settle anymore for a husband that's in the dynamic of someone 30 or 40 years ago. They want a partner. It's not so much I want a husband to take care of me and bring money into the house. It's I want a partner. And the men have not evolved quite enough in the intimacy department that to satisfy most women. Because us women, we want it all. We want a man that, you know, can hold his own in his career. He could hold his own in a relationship. It can be balanced. It can be even. And it can be nurturing. But this is something the men have to move into. And the thing that I understand, since man cannot bring forth life by himself, that the woman is the leader and the most powerful powerful sex on the planet right now. And I understand that, but, you know, there's going to come a tipping point. And when that tipping point comes, there won't be any more war, because women birth children and they would never, never send them to kill other children. They just wouldn't. So I just think that it's going to take a while for this to move all the way through, but it's coming. It's here. I mean, last year I kept saying she's coming. It's coming forward. Things are going to really change, but she's here now. So grab on and just start finding out where you could hold love the most in your own personal life and everybody in your little circle of friends and all of your family. Just work on you, you know, because people, you can't make people do things really. I mean, you can out of fear. But like Gandhi said, be the change. And that's what I keep hearing in my mind over and over. Be the example. Be the change. Show them what it looks like. And that's what we have to do. It's not overpowering. We are here to show them that it can work and we know how to do it. Oh, that was a pretty good rant, huh?
Well, I think what I'm also hearing from you is you're saying that there's a lot of fear out there. If you don't understand and I think that fear comes from whether you're male or female. Stepping into your power is always a very fearful thing for certain people. It's like, do I want this responsibility? You have to take a look at your life without that responsibility. I mean, some people like to be in the herd, and they don't like anything rocking what they believe to be the universal constant. And I think,
we also have a distorted definition of power. Maybe you could touch on that. There's a real, you know, all the words that men have used in a different context than women would use them, that it's scary. Like I had someone talk to me about, I don't like the word warrior. You know, I like the word war, you know. And I thought that was interesting. Well, we don't like that, but it's the definition that we've lived with. But it can look different. It doesn't have to be scary. A warrior of light is somebody that's bringing the light into the planet. And I guess some of our verbiage might need to be changed, and you're very good at that. So maybe we could look up some, you could suggest some words that we could use besides the warrior of light, or this is an energy war or something. We could offer that to our listeners.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the word warrior because there's strength, and it depends. Any word can be taken in the English language and shoved over for not good purposes, but because, you know, one of the things that I do in my sideline, many of sidelines, is I belly dance. There was a huge discussion about the power of the word. Oh, you shouldn't call it belly dance. It's dance oriental, or it's, it's Rakshaki or whatever you want to call it. And the word that came out in the Chicago Exposition at the turn of the century was the connotation of it, and this is what I always tell people. There's denotations of words, what it actually denotes and the use of it, and then there's the connotation. It's like, this is why word selection is very important. But I think with warrior, you have to embrace that strength, because that's what we need to be. If we're going to shift planetary power, if we're going to end the pollution components and the global warming, if we're going to have solutions to our problems, that's not going to come from I don't know, I just, kind of want to be normal. No, that takes warrior, that takes spirit.
I love it. That's an awesome explanation.
Yeah. And I think at some point you've got to let go of, I always call them tacky semantics, that you have to realize this is a battle. And it's like we were saying last week. It's easy to meditate in the mountains, folks, and find nice comforting words, but the battle takes place in the valley. We're fighting for planet survival. And I don't care if you're looking at it from a scientific point of view, a metaphysical point of view, a theological, whatever point of view you're looking at, this is a time for this planet. What we become in the next 1,000 years starts here. It starts today. There's no break point at that. We're up and we're moving.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's been coming for quite a while, but it's really here.
Yeah.
I had a Zen master about 30 years ago that, predicted this, and I've talked about him before, where he had predicted there would be a time where there'd only be three choices, and the three choices are to leave the planet, self-medicate, or wake up, and that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And he told us that there's a small group that he worked with at that time was that you better get through all of your own crap before this happens, because if you haven't worked through all of your stuff, then it's going to be like hitting a brick wall. So I want people to understand, too, that people that haven't, women and men, that haven't really done a lot of work over the last, 20, 30 years, that it can look ugly. This waking up part can look ugly for some people that are resisting who they really are.
Let's expand that out to younger people as well, who don't have the 20 or 30 years to have been processing on this. Whether you're, 15 or whether you're 20, work on the issues that you can and break them apart. It's time to realize that life is moving forward and that you get to jump on to this. This isn't something
mm-hmm.
that's going to pass you by. You get to be a part of this in this
absolutely.
Proactive way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And all the younger people, when they stop being distracted, that's another thing, about the illusion. Of course, it's very distracting for everybody. But I think the younger people are coming in, and they're not happy at all anyway with the illusion, and they're starting to decide, and they're starting to look for what does all of this mean, It's supposed to be give me, I'm entitled and all of that. But that's going to start falling away because there's no foundation under it. It's just all part of the illusion. And you have some younger kids, and that's the thing with autism, too. These kids have come in, and they have put a mechanism or something in themselves that says, you are not going to brainwash me. You are not going to socialize me. I came in to share the light, and that's what's going to happen. You're not going to squeeze this beautiful round peg into a square hole. It's not going to happen. So they figured out some way not to be brainwashed like we were. Our generation was extremely brainwashed and put to sleep. But that's why it's called the awakening. What's going on now is because we're waking back up, because that's just how society was set up. By the time you're 7, you're fully disconnected from the other side and all of your information, because that's what society does. And that's why it's called the Great Awakening, because we're all waking up at the same time at different levels. So this is like the party of the universe, everybody. I want you to know that all eyes are on the earth. All eyes are here watching this feminine energy move forward and shift a whole planet. It is the party, I'm telling you. And we signed up for it. You have to remember, you signed up to bring your energy down here and to bring the light to this planet, to shift it right in front of everybody's eyes. So, we're like the chosen, the chosen ones, but we wasn't really chosen. We volunteered. So that helps me a lot, too, if I keep reminding myself, even on the roughest days, that you volunteered for this, and if you were not strong enough to do this, you wouldn't have come. So that always helps me realize that, okay, you signed up for it, let's do it. And that's what I like other people to believe. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't totally on purpose and your choice.
I'd like to touch on the millennials, because the millennials, I am extremely fond of the millennial generation, and I'll tell you why. Because as much as we often hear them say, oh, well, they're lazy, they're entitled, they're this, they're that, they're spoiled. They didn't get there on their own, you know, their own way. They were also handed a bill of goods. They were told that, you know, the sky's the limit. You are special. You are miraculous. All you have to do is go to college, and everything will be easy street for you. And so then they come out of college 4 to 6 years later with massive amounts of debt that none of our generation ever had to even consider having. We're talking about people with, if they're lucky, $60,000 and some of them $120,000 worth of debt. And so instead of sitting there and falling apart, as, you know, some factions of our society believe they are, no, no. What they have done is they've become minimalists. They, you know, the little house movement, they share homes. Where we grew up with, as you were talking about the illusion, you've got to have your own home. And it's got to be, you know, if your first home is 1,100 square foot, your second home better be 1,800 square feet, and your third home better be 3,200 square feet, because this is what
that's right. You better have a white picket fence and a dog and an SUV. It's
yeah,
that American
dream. Exactly.
That's,
and a timeshare.
Yeah, part of the illusion.
And so what these kids have done, they have been huge innovators. I mean, Airbnb, that was started because kids needed a way to not have to go to four-star hotels when they were traveling across the country. You know, they have backpacks. They have carry-on. They find cheap flights. They share their skills on the Internet at skillset.com. They are an extremely innovative generation. And so I think that they're going to pull us out of this.
Absolutely.
And
that's why they're here.
We have to, yeah, and what I think, older people, and I'm one of them, our responsibility for them now is twofold. Give them the tools they need, don't hinder them anymore, and get out of the way. And
yeah,
watch what they do.
Hallelujah. Get out of their way.
Get out of their way.
They are a force
and
to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I get so frustrated when I hear people going on about, well, you know, I don't know about this younger generation. Well, then get out of their way. They're doing great. They're doing exciting things. And here's the thing, too. A lot of it, you know, with the digital world, it's what we talk about in metaphysics. It's pure form energy, and it's out there, and it's growing and developing and coming into intangible things. And these people are just absolutely, they blow me away. They really do. And, you can complain. Well, they sit there in the cafe and they look at their phones a lot. Yeah, well, I have friends that do that, too. It's okay.
Well, what I noticed, too, is that they're focusing really, really hard on not being put to sleep ever since they were a child, you know. So that's where all this, let's give them Ritalin and stuff. They're not fitting in. They're not fitting in, you know. And it's all about that they came in and said, I don't care what you do, you are not putting me to sleep because I'm here to change the world. And like you said, the innovation that's coming from these kids, all of the generations – I try to tell people, like you said, when they talk about them complaining about them, and I just say, you know what? They came here to save the world. They came here to help us. They came here to wake us up. They came. This is a force that's going to fix the mess that we started and that you should honor and respect them.
Yeah. And it
because
started with
Occupy
Wall Street. It started with the Occupy Wall Street. Where they stood up and they said, no, this is what's wrong. This is what you've done. We want it fixed. We want you to listen to us. And they still haven't given up.
And what's funny is that most of us, you know, that's in our age group, I'm in my 60s, most of us forget for some reason or not, whether it was drug related or not, that we came in during the 60s to kick butt and change the world. And we mm-hmm. and I was part of that. I was part of that marching against the war. And I mean, that was just my whole younger years was all about that, fighting for love. No, you know, make love, no war. So we started the whole thing, and then we sort of went back to sleep because we were still listening to our parents and the illusion about having that house with a white picket fence. You must get a job. You must do this. This is the American dream. And so a lot of us went back to sleep, or we continued, to keep self-medicating, you know, so we, you know, we put ourselves to sleep. But now these new kids that have brought in the energy, we're waking up again, and we're here, and we're going to team together and help change and shift this planet.
But, you know, I blame shopping malls.
Huh? What'd you say?
I blame shopping malls. Putting everybody to sleep. Because, you know, self-medicating isn't necessarily just alcohol or drug. We tend to think it is, but it's also
coming
in the house.
Oh, no, it can be your phone, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean,
you flip on the
medication.
Television. Or, right, mm-hmm. exactly. So you go and you recreationally shop, and you end up with, you know, a closet full of stuff, so then you donate it or you have a yard sale. And I've always maintained for many, many years, you can have a brilliant, affluent style of living by going to yard sales and other people's junk that you go, wow, that's really great, you know, and you know, sometimes I will find a great bargain, want to strap it to my car and drive it around town because I'm so proud of this find. You know? but that,
you
that's
like
also forms. Right, right. But the whole shopping experience, the whole acquisition that we've gone through from the mid-70s into the 90s, and did none of us that much good, that's for darn sure.
Well, we've been programmed to be consumers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to keep us as a working force. I mean, that's a whole other topic. But I just want the listeners to know that the Warrior of Light is here, and she's going to start pushing us through our mud. And to be prepared, you know, you have to notice what's going on within yourself. I see a lot of line drawing. I do see a lot of line drawing. What people are, the women are starting to say, this isn't good. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Or I see where they're really standing their ground. And that's going to be the first phase of the warrior coming forward, where we're drawing them lines in the sand, what works for us and what does not.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying about that, Linda. And the other thing, too, is it hurts when the blinders come off. When you've been able to, you know, keep your head buried, oh, there's no global warming, there's no this, there's no that. And suddenly you look up one day and you're squinting at the sun, the light's there, and it's hard and it's frightening, but you're not alone. You know, we're all
right.
in this together. Support each other, support your, you know, look for those groups. It's in this time, you have to claim your individual power. But there's power in numbers. And again, I'm talking power through, not power over, not dominating, you know, not a struggle of power.
Right.
But kind of
it's working together, not working.
Yeah.
I know. But that's it's a very exciting time. I just wish everybody would be as excited as I am about this time. But start looking around, you know, and start looking at your friends and start gathering together as women and looking at the power that you have together to help support each other, you know, and whatever you need to get through, because this energy is only going to gain momentum. It's like a snowball at the top of a giant mountain, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and faster and faster. So I would set up, you know, like you said, start gathering together and start talking about how you're changing and what needs to be done and how we could help each other.
Okay, and real quickly, I just want to point out to everybody that on the 18th, next week, or actually this Sunday, I guess it is, we've got a new moon in 29 degrees. That's the last degree of Aquarius. This is an innovation moon. This is the moon of the individual. So, you know, get in contact with your inner self here. Great stuff. New moon sets a new emotional template. It's for recommitting and rededicating yourself to your regular path or a new path, whichever you perceive. On the 20th through the 22nd, I talked about that, the conjunction of Venus and Mars and Aries. But first, on the 19th, Mars and Venus move into Aries, And you're going to see some intensely spiritual and creative stuff coming out. This is where the spiritual warrior, and this is, as Linda keeps saying, the warrior of light, use this time. It's a gift.
It is a gift. Every day is a gift. And so, okay, listeners, I guess we'll be back next Friday at 8:30, and just start, be the observer. That's a good place to start. Just observe what's happening around you, especially with women, and start noticing how we're changing, and that will help you start looking at how you're changing, because we're all influencing each other, and we're all here to help each other. So find your little group that you could grow together and help each other as you're trying to discover how to own your light and how to move it out into the world.
And everybody have a great week, and just, yeah, that's all I got to say.
I'm going to have a wonderful week. Every day is a gift, and I am just very, this is the happiest I've ever been in my life, so I'm running with it. So everybody, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll have another dynamite show, I am quite sure. So thank you for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.